And what exactly is the consciousness paradigm shift? Let's talk with Marty Rosenblatt about that as we continue talking about remote viewing. We'll also take your calls this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Marty Rosenblatt with us, of course, and we'll take your calls as we're going to get into the consciousness paradigm shift as well. So, Marty, have you dabbled with remote viewing and looked into the future without a specific assignment?
An open one. I have not done that, and I know some others have. And
why not? Are you scared?
No. It's again. I am really big on this issue of actionable information, and the open stuff. In fact, I believe Paul Smith did one of those, and he saw an attack on one of our ships, and I believe it was from North Korea.
That was a couple years ago.
Okay, right, you remember that. But it wasn't actionable. After the fact, he knew what it was, okay? And there are so many stories like that which demonstrate the information is out there, okay? But I want to focus on what's actionable because I believe that's what's important, and I believe that's what, in fact, is going to lead to the consciousness paradigm shift. Because, you know, getting the information in a way where you can go back and say, yeah, I was psychic. Look, this is great. Okay, yeah, that's fine. But I'm well past, and many people are well past the point where we know precognition is true. The question is, how are you going to apply it in practical ways to help yourself and to help society? And that's going to lead to the paradigm shift.
This shift of consciousness, is it going to happen whether people want it to or not?
I believe so, because it's advantageous to be able to get information from the future. And those that begin to use it will find themselves in better situations. In fact, you know, it doesn't only affect, in my opinion, wealth. One, the subtitle of Consciousness is Fundamental in Vegas is Precognition, Health, Wealth, Wisdom. And there is a health aspect to this, because once you kind of get deep in your gut and just sort of take it for granted, you know it, that you are connected to your own future, it's more than just connected. You realize you're creating it. When you do this associative remote viewing and describe a picture you're going to see in the future, here, you've created a transcript now. You get to see it in the future and get to see the good matches. Well, why not do that with health? Why not create transcripts, intentions, expectations? Those are the kind of key words that make remote viewing and precognition work. You have an intention to gather information from the future, and you have an expectation that you will. Well, that could be true of health as well. And I believe it is. We're already hearing stories from people who, in fact, sort of without knowing it, did that. They visualize themselves being in better health. In fact, that technique's been out there forever. But if you think about it, it fits perfectly with what we're talking about. You visualize yourself healthy. You visualize maybe where there is some illness, and you visualize it disappearing. I like to use...
Would you call that remote viewing, or would you call that mind control, basically?
I would call that remote healing.
Okay.
In the context of what we're doing. I would call that remote healing. You know, in a way, it's sort of related to prayer. But these are capabilities of consciousness that are discussed. And it's not like any of this is new, including precognition. While they didn't use the word remote viewing, you go back to the oracles of Delphi time, the Greek time, You go into the Bible. This stuff has been around. It's just natural. But for us to integrate it, the feeling has always been that there are only a few can do it. You know, the shamans can do it, but not the normal person. Imagine a society where most of the people are integrating this into their lives.
Is this a science or not?
It is a science, absolutely. There's a protocol, and we are keeping, and it's important to keep data. How are you ever going to know who are the best precogs around? Those are going to be the ones that are going to eventually be sought after. Though I frankly like the image, and I don't quite know how it's going to play out, but I like the image of people doing it for themselves, taking total responsibility, choosing their own tasking, some financial, some other. But I know there are going to be people who are going to go and want to work for other organizations. Clearly, financial markets are going to be strongly influenced by this consciousness paradigm.
Marty, can we assume that successful people, success in business, success in life, that they do remote viewing and somehow they adjust and fix and do by utilizing that?
There have been studies that say exactly that. They don't use the word remote viewing. They talk about the very successful top executives using their gut feelings. In fact, I was really amazed about the way they did it. They said these executives would go, they would have all of their people do the normal intellectual stuff about a certain deal, but they would often just use their gut and either go with it or not go with it after all of that kind of standard effort went forward. And I think that in a way makes sense because they're paying attention to it and they are automatically the ones who sort of have this naturally, if you will, then get this strong intuitive sense, and they use their gut. So yes, this is out there all the time, but not using the word remote viewing.
All right, let's go to the calls. East of the Rockies, Jay in Floraholm, Florida, back with us. Hi, Jay, go ahead.
Yes, hi, George. Good morning, Mr.
Mr. Rosenblatt.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So I kind of wanted to briefly describe this dream I had. I've kind of mentioned this before on the show, but I never really went into detail. It was kind of this Illuminati New World Order apocalyptic dream. And basically a gate came down. People came up on horses. So I kind of took that as like metaphorically horsemen of apocalypse. They came down. My family was kind of trying to help me coach and tell me what to say and not say. And they was encouraging us to like make these gestures and stuff, and then they took me, selected me away from the main people, went behind there, and I was kind of talking, and they was encouraging me to say this until I started saying other things, and every time I started saying stuff they didn't want me to, they somehow covered my mouth or silenced me. And then this just kind of progressed to where then I was kind of questioning one of them, well, how do I know that you're this or that? And then it was kind of like they looked into my eyes, kind of like where the whole mind control thing comes in, and kind of basically made a veiled threat, and then all of a sudden there was clones of them everywhere. And then they even took me back there even more so where there was kind of the higher-ups. The only kind of telling thing of that is one of the people that seemed to be more in charge, his name was Bernie. I found that weird.
Bernie.
Before any of that.
Bernie.
You know, he said earlier that the remote viewing is only like 1 month. And ever since I had this dream, I didn't know because it was kind of shortly after I had gotten into really delving into and researching Illuminati, New World Order, and all of that, and watching all the YouTube videos and stuff. So I didn't really know if this was just like subconscious or if this was really a premonition and of things to come.
Well, what you bring up is something interesting, Jay. How do we know the difference, Marty, between remote viewing and some kind of precognitive dream?
Well, okay, let me say a few things about that. Dreams, by the way, are now really recognized to be so important in terms of connecting with the subconscious. So we know that. But dreams and the interpretation of dreams is quite difficult. You know, Jungians spend lots of time concerned with that sort of thing. Now, the accuracy of them, we happen to have a group that is doing the first ARV dream. We are actually have a group that have as their intention to have a dream that night about the photo site they're going to see the next day, and they're wagering, and they're accurate at 71%. So again, we're facing up to this issue, such as your dream, not knowing if it's truly precognitive or not. The process could be called like remote viewing, but and even you're thinking of it as being precognitive, that maybe you were seeing this kind of different world, but you don't know that. You know, you've been thinking about this. All the reading that you did even after your dream could have, in fact, influenced the dream that you had.
It's a fine line, though, Marty, isn't it?
It absolutely. It is a fine line. And it's one which I believe it is so important to watch your outcome. Watch your dream. See if, in fact, it comes true. The kind of dream that was described here is such a long-term dream, you're not going to know about it for, you know, a really long time. So how do you know if it's accurate or not? That's why we're actually now experimenting with intentions of short-term dreams. And in fact, they're turning out, surprisingly, to be, you know, kind of at the same level of the other precognition.
All right. Well, we take text questions as well. Tom has one for you, Marty. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Marty, we have a question for you from Dave in Arkansas, and he wants to know, what does Marty think is the one single best thing we can do for our future using remote viewing?
Oh, that's beautiful. The single best thing, I believe, would be for people, healthy people, to maintain their health using remote viewing, but in the sense of getting that precognitive remote viewing, is you creating your own future, that your present now is a function of what happened in the past, what happens in the future, and it comes all together with you being the creator. So I really do believe the most important thing, again, is this education, that precognition can, in fact, be integrated into your life. And I think health is more important than what we usually think of as wealth. You know, the most wealth is health.
Without the health, you don't need the wealth.
Exactly. So I really think that getting that the meaning, the deep meaning of this precognitive and consciousness and all that, the most important effect will actually be in individuals maintaining their health just sort of in a normal fashion, eventually getting so you sort of take that for granted.
Next up, we have Rebecca in Tustin, California, west of the Rockies. Good morning, Rebecca.
Good morning, George. Hello, Marty. How are you doing this
evening?
I'm
doing well, thank you.
Morning, I'm sorry. I'm a sensitive, an untrained sensitive. I'm 61 years old. I have had precognitive things happen to me that came true. Unfortunately, people died in another country. But my question is about remote viewing. I have a neighbor who knows I'm a sensitive. Now, I've been remote viewing all my life. On my own, all my life. But my neighbor asked me to help him with remote viewing so that he doesn't go too far. I don't think you can go too far in remote viewing, but as an expert that you are, I would like to know how I can help my neighbor and help guide him, beginning first, of course, with prayer, and how I can go about guiding him in his first attempt to try remote viewing.
Well, that's an interesting take. How do you guide someone into that, Marty? It's not easy.
No, but in many ways, the fact that he's showing an interest and you know enough about it.
That helps.
Yeah, and I would suggest, does he have a particular kind of task that he would like to take on? Is it health that he wants, or
I don't actually know. I was driving by in the car, and he said, "Hey, can you help me with? I don't want to go too far to the edge," and I didn't really know what he meant. I don't think you can actually go too far to the edge in remote viewing.
No,
he wants to make sure he gets it back, and I was leaving in my car, and he was bringing his kids home from school.
Well, look, and so, why don't you and him join app? It's free. Come to our website and join, and we give free webinars to teach this sort of thing through examples. But I mean, you'll have to have a bit more of a conversation with him and get him to understand that tasking is a key part of this. That you need to have clear in your mind what it is that you want to remote view.
Exactly. May I know your full email address for app, or?
Yeah, go to appliedprecog.com, all one word, appliedprecog.com. And
thank you, Marty.
Yeah, there's a contact link there, and just use that.
For people who want to go to the remote viewing conference that you've got coming up in June, can the public go?
Yes, we would love the public to go, and obviously many are already going, so it doesn't have to be only our members. And thank you for asking that, George. But if they go to our website, the homepage, appliedprecog.com, there's right there, click here to register, and they can see all of the presenters and their bios. These are top people in the field. They can see the full agenda. And we hope, in fact, they will register.
Well, let's hope they get there, Marty, and learn some things, because there's nothing like it. It's a great technique to be able to do. Sometimes people do it, remote viewing, unconsciously. They're not aware they're doing it, but they are. And that helps them too, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Period. They're doing it all the time. Sometimes they might call it gut feeling. Sometimes they won't even know they're doing it. But all of us, and this comes from quantum mechanics. There's actually a word for the connection of information from the future to the present. It's called syntropy. Entropy is like forward-moving information. Syntropy is backwards-moving information. And the present, whether we know it or not, is created from both the past and the future.
All right, stay with us. We're going to come back and wrap things up and take your final calls as we talk about remote viewing with Marty Rosenblatt on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast show, for the first hour, preeminent scholar Jordan Maxwell, who just had a heart attack, will be our guest on Coast to Coast. Now, I want you to know one thing. He wants to be on the program. It's not like we sought him out and we're forcing him to be on the air. He had a heart attack last week, but he wants to come on and say some things. So he's going to be our first hour guest, followed by our investigative reporter, Linda Moultonhaugh, with some incredible stories as well. We're going to come back in a moment with final phone calls for Marty Rosenblatt about remote viewing. Welcome back to Coast, Marty Rosenblatt with us, remote viewing, of course. Marty, can anybody dabble in remote viewing and it backfires on them or something happens? Is there anything dangerous about it?
The only danger I've seen in the precognitive kind of remote viewing that we're doing is if someone doesn't realize that it's not 100% accurate. So they do some precognition and it's involved in a prediction, and you know, they wager the farm. That would be a danger, and of course we always advise against that. In remote viewing, maybe terrible situations, I have heard, I've never experienced it, and our people don't experience it because we're always remote viewing, you know, our own future in a relatively short term. But I have heard that some people, if they go after a psychotic killer or something, they might unfortunately get entangled with that person's mind, and then they have to do something called detox. But if you're choosing to get involved in that sort of thing, then I think you would want to be a little wary. But you need to set your task, and if you set your task at the level of the kinds of things that we're doing here, I don't see any risk whatsoever.
Marty, as you well know, there's been a lot of remote viewers on this program. One of them, of course, Major Ed Dames, and he has talked about for years a kill shot, something from the sun that's going to wreak havoc on us. And he has admitted one thing now, that timing and dates are very difficult to predict in remote viewing. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And he's also a very good example of how you must be very cautious in believing everything that remote viewers say.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes when you remote view for yourself. And that's going to be one of the challenges, if I can go back to the paradigm shift, because I don't see precognition getting to 100%. You know, there's this uncertainty principle in quantum mechanics, and I think that plays itself out into the macro world as well. And I don't know how good we're going to get, but I doubt if it's ever going to be perfect. And as a society, we're going to have to learn how to live with that.
All right, back to the calls. Let's go to Skype. Max is in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Max, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Good evening, George, and good evening, sir. I started listening a little bit later on in the show.
That's all right.
And I was hearing about some kind of murky, a little bit, you know, some kind of dangerous things that were being talked about in terms of people's experiences. And one thing that I actually was curious about, I've called in before. I've got the art project that involves some esoteric things, but
yeah.
And it ties into that. I've actually been experiencing a lot of vibration in my pineal gland, and I find that there are periods where I strive harder and harder to. I love the term remote viewing. It feels so described, because typically what I'm looking for is just information from blankness, which feels a lot like what we're talking about here. But, you know, you hear about things like HARP, and you hear about a lot more privacy getting invaded, and you hear about them looking for new ways to invade citizens' privacy. And I feel, I always end up being curious by ends of these periods where I'm trying harder and harder to pull this information kind of from a void, trying to get my pineal gland to open a little bit more, and maybe it does fall under the category of remote viewing or precognizance, but I'm not entirely sure of that. But does it ever feel, or sometimes I find myself curious, is there ever effort being made on some party's end to possibly block or derail the progress of any one individual from reaching a certain point of awareness in this state, or is that something that you have ever heard of happening in this kind of in this field?
Well, I mean, I've heard of things like mind control, and so that would sort of be what you're talking about. I just don't know about any of that personally. I will say that there's no question that we are touching that when we do remote viewing of ourselves, and we're touching issues of ethics. The way we do it, we're remote viewing our own future precognitively, say the next day or two in advance. That's got to be 100% ethical, right? You're doing it
totally
with yourself. On the other hand, what happens if you try to remote view someone else's mind? Okay. And you might think of really good reasons for doing that. You might want to remote view a terrorist's mind in terms of what his plans are. But now you're getting to, in fact, the earlier part of the show with invading people's telephone calls. Now you're talking about invading maybe somebody's mind. You really get into...
Is that legal?
Well, but you could see how we're very close to touching some very deep ethical issues. And frankly, the paradigm shift we're talking about is going to have to confront that. And this issue right now that we're talking about may be the biggest, because people's privacies, as we all know, is, very, very important to them. Now, it may be that people may have to grow to learn how to protect themselves from this encryption that some of the people talk about, in current times with emails. There may have to be something like that in your own personal consciousness. Or, and this is really weird, and I don't know if our society would ever go for this, or you say, hey, you want to read my mind? I don't give a shit. Go ahead and do it.
Can't say that.
Uh-huh. And maybe some people who say that and allow it might, in fact, have less noise. They might. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know most people are certainly not ready to do that now. And reading minds, just like everything else, is not perfect. And that's also going to be part of what we're going to have to adjust to in this consciousness paradigm shift.
Erica is in Pennsylvania. Welcome to the program. Erica, go ahead.
Hi, and it's an honor to talk with you, George, and it's an honor to talk with your guest.
Thank you.
I have two questions, actually, but for me, it feels like I've been doing this for a long time. I usually just kind of call it deja vu, because I didn't know any other word except deja vu. But I see myself, like, for example, I'll see a clear picture of me sitting on a porch I've never sat on before, and a swing I've never seen, drinking Kool-Aid or lemonade out of a glass I've never seen before. And then within a couple of weeks, by happenstance, I'll be at that exact juncture, and I'll be on this porch, the whole thing replays. And it's like, wow, this is it. This is exactly what I saw. And I'll have like a swimming type feeling in my gut. And I'll know that this is exactly what I saw at the second I saw it. But by the time I get excited about it, it goes away, because I only saw that tiny minute. Oh, it's not even a minute. It's like 30 seconds of that future event. Now, is that considered remote viewing?
Oh, absolutely. That is so cool. What you've just done is precognitive, seeing the future, remote viewing. And that's wonderful. Now, the thing is, knowing that you can do that, if you have an interest, and I would think you would, because you obviously know that you can do this, why not do it on purpose sometimes? Why not think of ways of saying, gee, where will I be a week from now, and try to describe that? And that would be fun for you. And then, of course, if you want to do it in the way we're doing it, with associative remote viewing, go ahead and contact us.
How do people train themselves if they're all by themselves, Marty, and they want to try to do remote viewing? I mean, can they pick up books from folks? You know, Paul Smith has a great one out.
Yep.
Can they do that and train themselves?
Yes, and there are free programs online. We give free webinars. If you want to go into super, super deep, like the military people did, Paul Smith, in fact, does classes. Lynn Buchanan does classes. So there are many ways. If you put in Google remote viewing, you will have to filter through an awful lot, but the information is all out there.
All right, let's go next to Gary in Santa Maria, California. Hi, Gary, go ahead.
Okay, Marty, you're very concise. In fact, it was almost like you you read my channel description of Coast Insight. Georgia, Coast to Coast wants to take over that channel. I'll relinquish ownership in two heartbeats.
Well, talk to Tom about that. All right.
When I pinpoint time using my own remote viewing skills that I've developed, I look at the planetary positions. Mercury takes 88 days. Pluto takes 240 years to go around the sun. And it's quite effective for me just to look at the position of all of the planets. They're huge in the solar system. And that will give you, at least it gives me, within a week, of whatever the time is that I'm pinpointing. And I find it possibly disingenuous of some of the remote viewers to say it is so hard to pinpoint time if you can't see something as large as Jupiter and juxtaposition it with Venus and Mercury.
Well, I would love to see your data. I mean, you make it sound like within a week, 100% of the time. Are you claiming you're 100% accurate?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So, I mean, I would like to know how accurate you are within a week of an event that might be off months. But, I mean, you apparently have worked out a technique that you feel is very successful.
It works for him.
It works for you. I would love... is there a place I can go look and see the data and see how you do it? I'm not even questioning it, but to the extent that it becomes valuable, it needs to be shared, and there needs to be data. Is there a link?
He's got a channel called Coast Insiders on YouTube, if you want to take a look at that.
Okay, I'll write that down.
And, yeah, Gary, you can talk to Tom about that. Maybe he wants that channel. You never know. Marty, only got about a minute left. I want you to take some time and tell folks about your conference and where they can go to it. And it's June 13th through the 16th. Give them your website. Go ahead.
Yes. AppliedPrecog.com. The conference is Consciousness is Fundamental, Precognition, Health, Wealth, Wisdom. If you go there, you can find all the information. Plus, for those of you, and we know you're not all going to be able to come, right? There is actually a webinar streaming that will stream all of the principal presenters, including Joe McMonaco, and you can get involved with making predictions. So take a look at AppliedPrecog.com and either visit us in Vegas or visit us online with the webinar.
Marty, Joe's one of the giants in the industry, isn't he?
Absolutely.
All right, my friend. Thanks, Marty. Appreciate you being on the program.
Thank you, George.
Marty Rosenblatt, again, website all linked up at coasttocoastam.com for you. We make it simple for you. And don't forget, go to the website every day and look at all the things that Lex has posted in the stories, in the news. You get it all at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.